Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos Erev Shabbos class learning. Hope everyone had a meaningful week, and Baruch Hashem, we're ready for Shabbos again. So we have two dedications tonight. One is anonymous. She wants to remain anonymous. She has sponsored before, so I thank her and her family very much. I think this is either her third or her fourth time sponsoring this year. Is sponsored anonymously in honor of Baruch Hashem, the engagement of her daughter. It's a wonderful, very new simcha, Baruch Hashem. It's a wonderful young man who compliments and supports her in every way. We are so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing them together. So we wish her and her family and the Chosan Kala a heartfelt mazel tov. Baruch Hashem, they should be zecha to build a bayis ne'eman b'Yisrael with only nachas and simcha and shafa bracha from each other and from the Ribono Shel Olam, Ezras Hashem, a big mazel tov. Also, I did ask permission of the sponsor, and she graciously said, of course. So it is my husband's paternal grandfather's yurtzeit on Shabbos, Yod Aleph Cheshvan. It happens to be it's yurtzeit of Racheli Minu, and the yurtzeit of Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and is also my husband's grandfather's Yartzeit on Shabbos Yod Aleph Cheshvan. So this is Arli Yod Cheshvan. This Yartzeit is Yod Aleph Cheshvan. So it should be a Zechira and Aliyah Neshamer for Shmuel Zanvil Ben Yosef Baruch Alav Hashem. May he be a Melitz Yosher for the entire family for only Besoros Tovas and Smecha. And I thank our anonymous sponsor for allowing me to share the dedication with you this evening. Okay, so I told you that last time was the introduction. We're going to go back to the Mishnah where we began Shir. I'm going to tell you an interesting, beautiful story of Hashkacha. Let's just get right into our learning. So I'm going to screen share. 1 second. Okay. So could you see that I am in Pirkei Avos here on my screen? Yeah, okay, thank you so much. So if you recall, we're in the beginning of Pirkei Avos Perek Hei. Okay. Well, we began in the Mishnah that tells us about the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, and then the 10 generations from Noach to Avram. And then we spoke particularly about the Dor HaFlaga and the power of Shalom. This is a very quick recap. Remember the Rashi? How come the Dor HaFlaga survived? They were dispersed, but they survived. But the Dor HaMabel were totally destroyed. So we saw in Rashi, because this one, the Dor HaFlaga, had Shalom Beinehem, Safa Achas, Udvarim Achadim. They got along with Shalom. So even though they were trying to push the Yad Bagei Iker, rebel against the Ribono Shel Olam, nevertheless, because they had Shalom between them, they were able to be Zocha, to survive utter annihilation. Whereas the Dor HaMabel, because they were Gazlanim, Vahayu Meriva Beinehem, Kosh Baruch Hu totally wiped them away. And from here, Rashi taught us how great is the power of peace. So last time we spoke about that generation in particular, and then tremendous Koach HaShalom. I want to go back to the Mishnah where we started Shir last time. Okay, so we're in the beginning of Perek Hei, like you could see on my screen, in Mishnah Beis of Perek Hei. So the Mishnah tells us, Asara Doros Me Adam Va'ad Noach, there are 10 generations from Adam to Noach, Lodia Kama Erech Apayim Lefanav, to let it be known how patient God is. He is slow to anger. Shekol Hadoros Hayu Machisinu Bad. All the generations that came were angering God from Adam to Noach. Ad Shehevi Aleim Esmei HaMabel, until he brought upon them the waters of the deluge. So those 10 generations had such a quick yirida from Adam to Noach. Hashem was very angry, but he is slow to anger. He's patient until finally he brought upon them in the time of Noach the water of the Mabel. And then, Asara Doros Minoach Ve'ad Avram, there are also 10 generations from Noach to Avram, Lodia Kama Erech Apayim Lefanav, to let it be known how patient, how slow to anger, Erech, long, like Orech, width, length, long. Shem is long, Apayim, to anger. Shekol Hadoros Hayu Machisinu Ba'ad, all the generations were angry in God, Ad Shaba Avram Avinu V'kibas Char Kulam, until Avram Avinu came, and not that this time there was destruction, like the 10th generation by Noach. This time there was someone who fulfilled his tafkid. So instead of having to destroy the world in the 10th generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning the 10th generation from Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to bring reward to the world. What reward? Well, all those generations from Noach to Avram didn't fulfill their tafkid, but Avram comes along. He fulfills his tafkid and he gets char kulam. He gets the reward for all of them. So both Mishnayos, both of 10 sets teach us about God being slow to anger. But the first one ends with, in Noach's time, the whole world was destroyed. In Avram's time, the world was not destroyed because the tzaddik Avram came and received the reward of all of them. Okay, so, you know, it's just not crazy, but I find a lot of hashgacha in both my shiurim, in my preparation, in my teaching, and in my limudim, my own personal limudim. So this was the Mishnah where we began last week, Thursday night. If you missed it, you could catch it on YU Torah. It's a whole in-depth shiur on Shalom, very beautiful. And so Friday morning, after my son got on the bus very early, bus comes very early, pitch black, so like being out in the middle of the night, we'll change the clock so it won't be so pitch black anymore. And then davening, I went for a fast walk. So I have like 20, maybe more, 25 unlistened to shiur of Rabbi Zavlev. So I happened to choose one. Why? I don't know. I'm not joking, like 25, okay? And what's the first thing he starts to talk about? This Mishnah. No, I'm not joking. He starts to talk about, I'm just going up from that, as we learned this Thursday night. It's early Friday morning. The bus comes between like 6:35 and 6:40-ish when it's on time. Pitch black. We could see Mars and Jupiter and Mercury, and it's stunning, and it's Marbu Masach Hashem. And then I came into Davin Shachris, and then I go for my walk. And literally, the shir I choose out of 25 to 30, unlistened shir, I'm a Rabbi Zavlev, is what I choose. He starts talking about this Mishnah. So I thought, this cannot possibly be an accident, but I taught this Mishnah last night, and here Rabbi Zavlev is talking about it this morning. So I've been waiting all week to share this with you. Okay? So we're going back to the Mishnah, where we started last week, and he brought a beautiful Chiddush. So let's look. Asar daros me Adam vanoach. What's the difference? I already pointed out the difference. Both tell us there are 10 generations from Adam to Noach, and then 10 generations from Noach to Avram. We come from Shem, who was 9 generations before Avram. To let you know how patient, orech, how long God is to anger. But by Noach's time, from Adam to Noach, all the generations were angering God, and it ended with destruction. In Tol, he brought upon them the waters of the deluge, and of course the whole world was washed away. However, when the 10 generations from Noach to Avram, it's the same thing. Everybody's idol worshiping. Read the Rambam, Mishnah, Torah, Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim, Halachos Aleph through Beis. The whole world is full of Avodah Zarah. Everyone has forgotten that there is a Ribono Shel Olam. Everyone is angering Hashem. Kol Daros Hayu Machisin Uban. However, the end is different. You have one man who rises to the task, who fulfills his tafkid, namely, who becomes Avram Vino, and he gets the reward from them all. So and last time, not only did we talk about this Mishnah, but we went through the 10 generations, if you remember. I put it on the screen, Perek Yud Aleph. We went through the 10 generations from Noach to Avram, and I told you it's Torah, just like the Aseres HaDibros are Torah. Just like Zachar Sama Shabbos Kadosh is Torah, so too, this is also Torah, and it's part of Torah, so you have to learn it. But Rabbi Zavlev gave a beautiful Chiddush. Let's look. So could you see I went to Bereishis Pasuk Hey now? Okay. Every one of the 10 generations from Adam to Noach says the same format. Here we are, we're in Perek Hey, okay? And Adam lived 130 years, and he gave birth in his image and his likeness. He called his name Shais. And the days of Adam, after he gave birth to Shais, people forget about Shais. There's Cain, Hevel, and Shais, by the way. Cain kills Hevel, doesn't go over so well. Shais, from Shais, the third son, the world is populated. Okay. He lived after he gave birth to Shais, Shmona Mayot Shana, 800 years. Vayolad Banim Ubano. Adam had many more children. We don't know who they are. Vayihi Kol Yimei Adam Asher Chai Tsha Mayot Shana Shloshim Shana Vayamos. And so he lived 130 years. He gave birth to Shais. He gave birth to other children who we don't know because the Torah doesn't deem it relevant. We only need to know that everyone came from Shais. He lived 800 years after he gave birth to Shais, and he lived 930 years in total. 70 years went to David HaMelech, and he died. He died. Shais lived 105 years. He gave birth to Enosh. Whoops, sorry. I don't need that side part, but it doesn't matter. Just look here at the Pesukim. And Shais lived Chamesh Shanim, Uma'at Shana, 105 years, he gave birth to Enosh. And Shais lived after he gave birth to Enosh, and he had sons and daughters, and the entire years of Shais were, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years, he gave birth to Canaan. Enosh lived after he gave birth to Canaan, he had sons and daughters, the entire days of Enosh were, and he died. Perek Hey, which is the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, list the main personality of how the world descends, how old he was when he had the next main personality, he had sons and daughters, how many years he lived in total, and he died. You see it on the screen. Look. And Canaan lived for 70 years. He gave birth to Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he gave birth to Mahalalel. Arbaim Shana, Ushmona Me'at Shana, 840 years. He gave birth to sons and daughters. The entire days of Canaan. And he died. In the 10 generations from Adam to Noah, it lists his age, when the main personality, who ensures the continuity between the generations, the age when he had the next main child, how many years he lived after he had the main child. He had sons and daughters who are not mentioned. Total years, and he died. Interestingly, this is on my fast talk last week, Friday morning, after we started in this Mishnah and went through the 10 generations. When we got to Perikid Aleph, where we were last week, which you could see on my screen, the 10 generations from Noah to Avram are missing one crucial piece. Let's look. Perikid Aleph, Pasuk Yod. Could you see I switch now? I'm in Perikid Aleph of Bereishis. Yeah? Okay. Ela told Shem, these are the offspring of Shem. Shem is 100 years old. He gave birth to Arpachshad. Remember last week I had trouble saying his name? Okay, 2 years after the Mabo. And Shem lived after he gave birth to Arpachshad, 500 years. Vayolad Banam Ubanos. Arpachshad lived, Chamesh Usloshim Shana, 35 years. He gave birth to Shalach. Arpachshad lived after he gave birth to Shalach. He gave birth to sons and daughters. Shalach lived. What's missing? I know none of you could talk, but you could somehow post it on the chat. Usually I don't have time to read the chat. Okay, if you post it on the chat, and I don't, in general, this is a principle of my shiram, I don't address it, please don't be insulted. I don't have time, especially sometimes I get direct messages. I for sure do not have time for those during shiram. Exactly. Thank you. What is missing, says Esti, is, and he died. By Yamas, exactly right. And he died. In the 10 generations, in Parakeh, the first set of 10 generations, which the Mishnah refers to, from Adam to Noah, and make sure to tell you the main personality, how all these, when he had the main personality of the next generation, he also had sons and daughters, how long he lived, and he died. In Parakut Aleph, which is the 10 generations from Noah to Avram, it gives you the same information, the main personality, who continues the transmission through the generations, the age when he had the next child, how long he lived, he had sons and daughters. It doesn't say Vayamas. So how does this fit into the teaching of the Mishnah? So Rabbi Zev Lef, it's so beautiful, says, what does the Mishnah teach? How does the Mishnah learn this out? How did the Tanaim learn this out from the Psukim? So now let's go back to our Mishnah. Asara Doros Me Adam Va'ad Noach. There are 10 generations, says the Mishnah, Perakei Mishnah Beis. From Adam to Noach, Lodia Kama Erech Apayim Lefanav, to let you know how slow God is to anger, how patient Hashem is, that all the generations, how you machisin uvai, and they angered God, they were coming and angering God, from Adam, the first man, to Noach, the first righteous man, if you will, ad sheviyaleh mismeham abo, until God brought upon them the deluge. Nobody repented, there was no one like an Avram Avinu, who was kibas char kulam. So Rabbi Zev Lef says, how do you know God was patient to all these generations? Because it says, Vayamas. By each person, Rabbi Zev Lef says, quote, they lived 700 years. I listened twice to the same shir, by the way. I listened twice to the same shir, which I don't usually do, but I wanted to make sure. He also spoke about the seasons after the flood, which I had Akasha on also. Not only this, but the night before, listen to this. Now, the afternoon before, I asked one of my sons and my sister-in-law and somebody else why there were seasons after the flood. So I think all three people said, I learned this, but I don't remember. So that was Thursday afternoon. Thursday night, we learned this Mishnah. Friday morning, I went for my walk. He began this year talking about this Mishnah and ended this year talking about seasons on the flood. I'm not joking. I'm really not joking. So I listened to the shir twice because there were many concepts. I wanted to make sure that I had kashrus on, that I wanted to make sure I understood. I chopped the answer. So Rabbi Zev Lef said as follows. What do we learn from this Mishnah, and how does it derive from Parakeh? He lived, he was this age when he had this son. He lived this many years after he had this son. He had sons and daughters. He lived till this age and he died. Those are the 10 generations from Adam to Noah until the flood came. So Rabbi Zev Lef says the fact that it says, and he died, Vayamas, he lived 600 years, 700 years, 800 years, whatever. He lived a long time. That's proof that God is Erech HaPayim. The fact that it says Vayamas at a ripe old age Tikover b'seva tova. That's just a paraphrase of what Hashem taught Avraham Avinu. Ata tavo al v'secha b'sham tikover b'seva tova. This week's parsha lechacha. The fact that it says vayamas at a ripe old age proves, no, is how the Tanaim knew that this Mishnah is true. How they knew that they could teach us this piece of Torah Shabbal Peh. Because God is slow to anger, and he didn't punish anybody for 10 generations. How do they derive that from the Torah? Because the Torah makes a point of saying, Vayamas, he died at a good old age. He had a Rechos Yamim and Shanim. He died in his bed, surrounded by his children and his grandchildren. If it would have said he died in an accident, or they would have died prematurely, or they would have died of meteors falling from Shemayim these 10 generations, then you would know that God is not slow to anger. Nobody fulfilled their tafkid. So in the time of Noach, and it's questionable if he fulfilled this tafkid or not, very, very deep question, a very, very deep answer, but no one fulfilled their tafkid in those 10 generations. So how do we know God is Erech HaPaim? How do the Tanaim learn that Hashem is Erech HaPaim from the Torah text? Vayamas. Vayamas. It doesn't say he died at 30 or 35. It doesn't say he died of a flood or a meteor from Shemayim or wild animals tore them apart. The Torah is telling you that at a good old age, every main persona in that generation died. That proves that Hashem is Erech HaPaim. Even though they were machisin uva'in, angering God and continuing with the anger because he was Erech HaPaim, in each generation, the Torah makes a point of telling you in Parakeh, Vayamas. Vayamas, he died at a good old age. He was old. How old was Canaan? His entire life was Esor Shanim with Shamei Oshana. He died at 910 years old. God was obviously patient with this generation because people lived till a very long time. Vayamas, after 910 years in his bed, he said his own vidui, and he was surrounded by his children and his grandchildren, and not only that, and great and great and great grandchildren. He saw so much nachas, and he had a tzlach of parnasa. Vayamas. So the Mishnah is able to say Hashem is Erech HaPaim. Ad she'vi'aleim mei hamabel, the proof from the Torah is Vayamas. Once again, it goes back to what Michal Haaretz says all the time. You should know this line off by heart. You should hear it in your sleep. Nothing in the Torah is on. If you can't fill in this answer, you never learned with me before. Nothing in the Torah is on accident. If you didn't fill that in, it's your first time in Shir. Or you never paid attention before. One simple word. Remember I told you that these psukim are just as important as Zachar Shem Shabbos Lekacho. Machalem Mos Yumas. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. They're psukim from the Torah. There's, I think it's the Zohar who says that all the osios in the Torah rearrange really all spell Shem Hashem. That the whole Torah is really just one long slew of letters that spell out Shem Hashem. Everything in the Torah is relevant. It's not stories. It's not narratives. It's not Mother Goose and Grimm. So these psukim that look like just generations and generations, which is exactly where we were last time because we started in this Mishnah and we went to the psukim. No, it's coming to teach you something. And therefore, Torah Shabbal Peh can derive that Hashem was Erech HaPaim. How do I know he was patient? Vayamas. How old was Canaan? 910 years old. He lived a very long life. How old was Mahala? Chamesh v'tishim shana u'shmona me'ot shana. He was old. He was 895 years. And he died. So therefore, Parakeh, the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, prove that Hashem was patient, and even though they were deserving of punishment, because no one came and kibel schar kulam like Avram Avinu did. Another comparison, by the way, between Noach and Avram. Noach finishes the 10 generations in a time and place where everything is destroyed. Avram finishes the 10 generations v'kibel schar kulam. That's not what the Mishnah says about Noach. Okay? So therefore, Vayamas teaches you how Erech HaPaim God is. Doesn't say Vayamas by a wild lion. Doesn't say Vayamash in a meteor. It doesn't say Vayamash because he drowned. It doesn't say Vayamash in a fire. He died in his bed in a good old age, 900 years. So you see from here two things. Number one, how we expand upon the Mishnah, understanding of the Mishnah. And number two, how the Tanaim were able to learn from the Chumash what the Torah is teaching you, and redactate that for us in the Torah Shabbal Peh. And three, how nuanced we have to be when we learn Chumash, how exacting we have to be to pay attention to every word, because every single word is coming to teach us a lesson. So now we go back to the Mishnah. So beautiful. Just so beautiful. So Asar Doros me Adam Vanoch, Lodia Kamecharcha Paim Lefanov, Shakal Doros Hayimachisin Uvan, Ad Shehevi Aleim, Esmei Hamabal. How do I know? Vayamas. By the time Noah came along, God, after 10 generations, 10 is like completion, like a minion is 10 men. Avram Avinu, next week's parsha, doesn't daven for less than 10 men in the merit of Sodom and Amorah. The Aseres Hadibros are the 10 declarations. So 10 is a rounded number and a number of completion. So by the time he came to the 10th generation, and nobody's really doing complete teshuvah, Noah's his own shaila and a very, complex biblical personality, Hashem says, now I have to destroy you all. But it's proof that the people were rewarded with God's Erech HaPayim from the word Vayamas. You might think it's an oxymoron. It says Vayamas, that proves God Erech HaPayim. Yes, because how old were they when it says Vayamas? But then the Mishnah tells you, Asara Doros Minoach Vad Avram. Now, Avram was very different than Noach. Okay. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning last night, and I was my mind was just, I was having trouble sleeping because of Shir last night. Noach Avram, fine, we're not going there. Asar dos minoach vad Avram. There were 10 generations from Noach to Avram. Lo dia kamech erach apayim lefanim. So what does this mean? Shekol dos hayumach sinuvain. Sounds similar, but the end is very different. Ad shabo Avram Avinu v'kibas char kula. This end is entirely different. Unlike the time of Noah, when the people needed to be washed away in the deluge, here they don't need to be washed away because Avram Avinu comes on, he fulfills his tafkid, he receives the reward for all of them. What's the reward? V'nivrechu b'chal komish b'chos adama, v'agadha shemecha, v'heye bracha, av hamon gayim nisaticha, nasi alokim ata b'sochenu, founder and father of the Umma Yisraelis. Avram receives the reward of all of them. So in this case, Rabbi Zavlev said, all you need to know now, if you go to Perikid Aleph, you see, it does not say, like a couple of you said, Esti said and someone else whose name I don't know, because it doesn't say your name by the chat, pointed out, in the 10 generations from Noach to Avram, which are listed in Perek Yud Aleph of Bereishis, where we were last week as well, it says, look on the screen again, and Arpachshad lived 530 years, he gave birth to Shalach. Arpachshad, after he gave birth to Shalach, was 430 years old. Vayolid banu banos. Doesn't say Vayamas, it goes to the next generation. Because all you have to know now, says Rabbi Zavlev, what the Tanaim are teaching you now, what the Mishnah is teaching you now, is a very different lesson. You had 10 generations, or I should say 9 generations, of people who did not fulfill their tafkidim. No one came along to fulfill their tafkid. And Hashem is waiting and waiting because he is Erech Apayim. And finally, someone comes along, namely Avram, who we meet actually at the end of Parshas Noach. Oh, actually, you want to see where we meet him? I'm on the screen. We meet him in Perek Yud Aleph. Here he is. All of a sudden, Ve'ela told us Terech, Terech holidus Avram es Nachar ves Haran. V'Haran holidus Lot. Here we are, end of Perek Yud Aleph. Who do we meet? Lo and behold, Avram Avinu. What is he? The 10th generation from Noach. Avram recognized Hashem. The last Rashi of Perek Yud Aleph tells us, until Avram, there was Charon af Makom Ba'olam. Until Avram, last Rashi to Perek Yud Aleph, on the word Charon, in ancient Torah texts, the Nun used to be upside down. In our text, in our Torah, the Nun is no longer upside down. But the Nun used to be upside down in Charon. Why? So Rashi says, because Charon af Hamakom Ba'olam. Until Avram came along, the wrath of God was in the world. So Hashem was waiting to see. Like the first set of 10 generations, would they be destroyed? Or would somebody come along who would finally fulfill his tafkid and God could give reward of all? So the answer is, someone finally came along who fulfilled his tafkid. That is Avram, who we meet at the end of the parak, the 10th generation, and Hashem gave him the reward of everyone, v'kibas charkulam. So in this case, you don't have to know vayamas. It has nothing to do with the price of tea in China anymore, so the Torah doesn't write it. Obviously, they died because no one lives forever. But the only point of putting it in the parak, hey, in the first place, is to prove God was erach apayim ad she'vialemis me'amabal. In this case, what you need to know is there were 9 generations of people who did not fulfill their tafkid. Hashem is waiting, so to speak, to see what would happen, even though, of course, he knows what's going to happen. Along comes Avram Avinu. He fulfills his tafkid. He turns the Nun of Charon Af upside down. I should say right side up, not upside down. He turns the Nun of Charon Af, anger of God, right side up. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Who was in my shir this morning or heard on Wayu Torah? I asked a question for those who are raising their hand. Oh my gosh. Avram is called the Nasi Elohim. Just like Moshe was called Isha Elohim. That's exactly right, Paul. And I said Nasi is made up of a nun and then the letters Ish. Sorry, if you didn't hear it this morning, go on to Aitor. I just answered a question I had from the morning. Baruch Hashem. Here we go. Wow. Avram, by the B'nai Ches, when he's buying the Ma'ar Samechpela and Perachav Gimel Bereshis, is called the Nasi Elohim, a prince of God. Nasi is made up of the letters Nun, and then if you rearrange the next three letters, it spells Ish. He's an Ish Elohim, just like Moshe. But I said I haven't worked out yet what the Nun is. Wow. Hoda Hashem Kitov Kilam Chasto. Wow. Ein Simcha Kalhar Sasechus. Didn't I tell you it's Hisiata Deshmaya, my teaching and learning? And here I am talking about Charnoff. And I said when Avram came along, he turned the nun right side up. So there's no mer Charon af hamakom ba'olam. He got the schar. That's my answer. Nasi Elohim. He's the nun. The guy who turns the nun right side up. Not the guy. The person who turns the nun right side up. Who diminishes God's anger. Who removes God's anger. That's what nun stands for. And then you're left with an Ish Elohim. Just like Moshe was Ish. Elohim. If you were in shir this morning, you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't in shir this morning, it should still make sense based on what I just said. I was trying to talk about how I knew that Noah was an Ish Elohim. No. Avram was an Ish Elohim, just like Moshe was an Ish Elohim. Moshe is called Ish Elohim, Beferish, Paraglamid, Beis Pasuk, Av of Devarim. And I said that Avram is called as a Nisi Elohim. Nisi Elohim is made up of the letters Nun, and then Senior Aleph spells Ish. So I said, what does the nun stand for? And I wasn't sure what the nun stood for. But I needed to come to shir now, 11 hours later, to know what the nun stood for. Charon af hamakom ba'olam. Avram turns the nun right side up. So the nun in the sea represents Avram kibas char kulam. He reverses God's wrath. So he is the one who reverses God's wrath, nun. And then he's the Ish Elohim, just like Moshe. Baruch Hashem. It was worth coming to shir for that. Ein simcha katarsa svegos. There's no joy like the resolution of doubts. Gevaldik, do you understand? Even if you weren't sure, I had this question at 10 o'clock this morning. And now here I have the answer. Okay, so this set of 10 generations, says Rabbi Zev Lev, Avram comes along. He gets the reward of all of them. There's no annihilation. There's no destruction. All you have to know about these 10 generations, there were 9 generations of people who did not fulfill their tafkid. Hashem was very patient. And at the end, Avram comes, fulfills his tafkid, and receives a reward from all of them. So you don't need Vayamash, because ultimately, there's no deluge at the end. You don't even know they were all wiped out. Vayamash indicates that those people also deserve to all be totally wiped out. But because Hashem was patient, he brings it all in the time of Noach. Perikid Aleph does not have the word Vayamash. So we have a way of Esti, Amen, thank you. So my son asked his rabbi from Israel. There is an answer. By the way, it's in the Gur Aryeh, which I ran online and I printed it out, but it's very, very hard. I need someone to learn it through with me. But Rav Noach Zasevsky, my son reached out to him last night. Shir, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't sleep. I don't know if anyone else was bothered by last night's shir, and they also couldn't sleep. But there is an answer, Baruch Hashem. Rav Noach Zasevsky told my son in a WhatsApp that it's a very complicated, very long answer, but the Gur Aryeh addresses this. I printed it out, but it's very difficult. I need someone to learn it through with me. Okay, fine, let's go. So, any volunteers? So, this is a way to expand upon the Mishnah, connect it to the Prakim, and also see the godless of the Tanaim in understanding how every word of Chumash teaches us a very important lesson. Okay. Last week we spoke about, let's go back to screen share. Okay. Last week, after we went through the 10 generations, what we specifically spoke about was a particular Rashi to Sefer Bereishis, Paragit Aleph, by the Dor HaFlaga, which is where I'm going now. Right? If you remember the Rashi, we're just going to recap it quickly. Okay. So the Dor HaFlaga, wait, can you see I went back to Paragit Aleph with Rashi? Okay. So the Dor HaFlaga, were dispersed. They're building the tower to rebel against Hashem. And the Dor HaMabul were only Gazlanim. So why were these people who were rebelling against God not utterly destroyed? But those people who were just stealing, utterly destroyed. We saw this Rashi last time. Okay. V'chi ezo kasha, shodar HaMabul or shodar HaFlaga? Which one is harsher? Which one is worse generation? The generation of the flood or the generation of disunion and dispersion? These ones, a generation of the flood, they did not rebel against the Iker, meaning God himself. They were stealing. We're not saying it's the best thing to do, but you can say that they are morid b'malchus shamayim. These ones, Dar Flagathar. No problem. We're going to go to war against God. And those ones were totally washed away for Gezel. And these ones were not lost from the world for fighting against God, Kaviyacha, building a tower up to Shemaim. Ela Shadar HaMabel, this is a review, we did this Rashi last week. Ela Shadar HaMabel Hayu Gazlanim V'Hayu Samir Riva Beinehem. Lekach Nevdu. But look at the power of Machlokas. The Dar HaMabel were stealers, thieves, highway robbers, and there was quarrel between them, so they were totally destroyed. Ve'elu Hayu Nohagim Ahava V'Reyus Beinehem. And these ones had love and friendship between them. Shenem are Safa Echaz V'Dvarim Echadim. They got along, they spoke one language, they understood each other, they worked together. L'madata Shasanui HaMachlokas V'Gadol Hashem. To teach you that Machlokas, quarrel, strife, is hateful before God, and how great is the power of peace. I prepared a handout for you last time when we went through many different sources where we went, someone volunteered to learn the Agur Ari with me. I will, later, Be'ezer Hashem, find the time and take you up on it. And then I'll share with everyone else, and we could all sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to understand why we could compare people of different generations if we're really not supposed to do that. Okay. So last time we had a whole handout where we went through many different sources to see the power of peace, including the fact that Shas, she's just a dream Mishnah, Mishnais, ends with the word peace, the teaching of peace. We went through it last time. Okay. What I want to talk about now is what I had prepared for last time but didn't get to from Rabbi Zavlev. It's a totally different shir. It has nothing to do with the shir on the seasons of the Mabel or these 20 generations. Right, this was prepared for last time, but I told you last time was the introduction. Okay. Gadol HaShalom V'Sanui HaMachlokas. What is Shalom? When we say Gadol HaShalom, it's from the word Shlemus. Shalom, Shin, Lam, and Mem means peace. It also means Shlemus, which is whole or complete. Shalem, and something is whole or complete. What does Shlemus and Shalom mean? So Rabbi Zavlev spoke about Maisa Bereishis, Perek Aleph of Maisa Bereishis. When Hashem created the world in Bereishis Perek Aleph, on every day it says, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, it was good. Every day was good. Actually, I could just screen share with you and show you. We'll just do it like this. Okay? I just have to put you back here. It'll be easier to do it this way. Oh, well, that's not what I want. Every day by Maisa Bereishis, it says it was good. Look. Okay? And God saw the light, Ki Tov, it was good. I'm skipping day two on purpose. And Hashem called the Yabasha Eretz, the dry land was called Eretz, the pools of water he called the seas, and God saw that it was good. Day three. Day four, God created the Mars and Jupiter and Saturn, which you could still see Baruch Hashem beautifully to the naked eye during this season, and God saw Ki Tov. On every day it says Ki Tov. Look here. Day five, all the off kanaf lumineu, the winged birds according to their kind, God saw it was good. Every day was good except for one day. You might be familiar with this, Rashi. The one day that was not good is day two. Look at day two. And Elohim said there should be a firmament in the midst of the water. The firmament should separate between upper water and lower water. God made the firmament to separate between water under the firmament and water above the firmament. And God called the firmament Shamayim Vayir Vayibokar Yom Sheni. What's missing from Yom Sheni? It's pretty obvious the way I pointed out for you. What's missing from Yom Sheni? The Torah does not say it is good. Why? On day two, doesn't it say it's good? So Rashi says, I stopped screen sharing, I'm not going back to it, but Rashi says because there was Havdalah. Hashem separated between the upper waters and the lower waters, and since there was Havdalah, that is not good. When there is separation or divide, you can't say it's good. Okay, that makes sense, because when there's Machlokas, you can't say it's good. But Rabbi Zavlev said, on the first day, God also separated. Vayavdel Elokim ben ha'or u'ben ha'choshech. Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov. And on the third day, God separated between the Mikveh Mayim and the Yabasha and Eretz. So why does Rashi say on the second day, it doesn't say Kitov, because there's Havdalah, which means separation. But on day one, there's also Havdalah. On day three, there's also Havdalah. God separated between light and dark. God separated between dry land and water. So how could it say it's good? And if it's good to have separation, why doesn't it say it on the second day? And if it's not good to have Havdalah, why doesn't it say it on the other days? So he said as follows, and this is very important for understanding of Shleimus and Shalom, especially vis-a-vis our fellow Jews. Oiv Shalom Hevemi Tamidav Sha'aron, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis of Pirkei Avos. Yeah, Mishnah Yud Beis. Hevemi Tamidav Sha'aron, Oiv Shalom Verodiv Shalom, Oiv Sabriyos and Makarv and the Torah. We're trying to link to another Mishnah and Avos. Love peace, pursue peace, love people, and bring them close to the Torah. What does it mean to have shalom? Rabbi Zavlev says, shalom is not when everyone's the exact same, doing the exact same thing, and all clones, so to speak, of each other. Shalom does not mean when every single Jew is dressed the exact same, looks the exact same, has the exact same levush, exact same kippah, goes to the exact same schools, shares the exact same hashkafa. That's not shalom. Shalom is when each person recognizes, I'm putting a bunch of Ashirim together, their own unique talents, abilities, and capabilities. They realize they are a unique individual. They do not have to be the exact same as another Jew. And they each serve Hashem in their own way. And then we unite to serve God with all of our kochos together. That's shalom. Everyone is unique. Everyone is individual. Everyone recognizes their role, their talents, not to be identical to the next person. That's shalom. On day one, Hashem separated between light and dark. That's not disunity. That's not Havdalah of disunity. That's light recognizes it has a role, or Choshech recognizes it has a role, dark. They each use their kochos to serve Hashem. There's no disunity. It's two different elements, each working to serve Hashem. That's Tov. The Yabasha and Eretz have their role. The Mikveh HaMayim have their role. That's not disunity. It's two different elements working together to serve Hashem. So light and dark work together. Light shines when it's supposed to shine. Dark shines when it's supposed to be dark. They work together as two unique elements to serve Hashem. That's Shalom. That's Kitov. The Eretz / Yabasha and Yamim Mikveh Mayim, it's not disunity. The Eretz understands its borders and boundaries. The Mikveh Mayim understands its borders and boundaries. They work together. The water says, where should I go until? The land says, where should I go until? They're different, but working together to serve Hashem. That's how Klal Yisrael is supposed to be. There's millions of members of Klal Yisrael. We're all different, but we have to work together to serve Hashem. But day two was the same element with division in within itself. Day two was water being separated from itself. Now there is water me'al l'rakia, and then there is water mitachas l'rakia. It's division between the same element. Division within one element is not tov. What's the Musar Haskel for Klal Yisrael? What does shalom mean? Shalom means when each Jew recognizes his tafkid, or knows its tafkid, Choshech knows its tafkid. It's not division within one element. It's different elements, different, recognizing their role, coming together to serve Hashem. The Mikveh Mayim knows where it needs to be. The Yabasha Aretz knows where it needs to be. Different elements work together to serve Hashem. On day two, the division was within one element itself. Division within one element is never tov. The Musar Haskel for Klal Yisrael is so strong and so loud and clear. We're all different. There are many different kinds of Jews. Remember the Rashi? Now, he wasn't talking about that Rashi, but I'm relating it. Now we could understand the Rashi deeper. Gadol Hashalom, how great it is when each element, each Jew, each Hashkafa recognizes their role, their tafkid, and like Or Choshech, Yabasha, and Mayim comes together with their individuality, we group together to serve Hashem. Division within one unit, I'm going to say not only is it not tov, in terms of Klai Yisrael, it's toxic. When we are one unit, divided from each other, like on day two, for us as a people, that becomes toxic. Therefore, since the Yamim were separated from each other on day two, I can't say Kitov. Because when you have division within one complete unit, now you don't have Shlemus. Or in Choshech is Shlemus. It makes a day. Yabasha and Eretz, Yabasha and Yamim, it makes a day of creation. It's good. It's complete. It's Shalim. It's Tov. Shlemus and Shalom is Tov. Division and disunity is not Tov. So when the Mayim was separated from each other, some was me'al rakia and some was me'tachas rakia, Hashem is coming to teach us that is not good. Not good. We have to strive, every Jew. Doesn't mean, I say this also a lot, you don't have to agree with every other Jew's hashkafa. You don't have to agree with every other Jew's way of life. But we have to learn how to be shalem b'shlemus. To recognize that just like I was created B'Tzalem Elokim, my fellow Jew is also created B'Tzalem Elokim. And just like I have a tafkid here, he is a tafkid here. And just like I can judge, just like I'm not the dying MS, I can't be judging other people. I leave that up to God. My tafkid is to recognize how every unique component can come together to serve Hashem. The vision within one unit is not good. And then at the very end of this year, this was not the same year about the seasons and the generations. People were already talking. There's a lot of background noise. The year was over. And Baruch Hashem was able to hear it. I couldn't hear fully, but listen what he said at the end. He quote, it wasn't part of the year. It's like, you know, when people are asking questions, but already there's a lot of talking. And I thank Hashem that I stayed on. I didn't shut off the year to listen to the end. He said something gewaldic. He quoted from the Yamim Noraim Tfilos. We say in the Yamim Noraim Tfilos, V'yasu kulam aguda achas, la'sos ritzoncha b'lev ha'shalem. V'yasu kulam aguda achas. We should all make one bond, one group, one formation. La'sos ritzoncha b'lev ha'shalem. I'm connecting it to Shalom. He did not. He did not connect it to Arashi. I am. La'sos v'yasu kulam aguda achas. When we are one aguda, we will have shalom, shlemus. I can't believe I heard it because there was a lot of background noise and a lot of women talking. And I don't know how Hashem... Aguda has all the first letters of the alphabet except B's. Jasmine, you've heard this or you knew where I was going with it? You heard it? You've heard this? I'm asking you if you've heard this. Oh, you heard it related to Yom Sheni and Maisa Bereishis? Wow. Okay, I thought it was so beautiful. Aguda, for those of you who didn't hear, like me, Aguda has Aleph, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, but it doesn't have a Beis. Why? He was giving all different reasons. He was talking about the Aleph, the Gimel, the Dalet, the Hei. But I think it's just so simple. It's so much more simple. Because the Beis represents Yom Sheni of creation. Yom Sheni of creation is the day when there was division within one entity. Division within one entity is never good. So if we want an aguda achas, we have to learn the lesson of making sure we are united within one entity. Beis is the only day of Maaseh Bereishis that was not united within one entity. And it doesn't teach us about aguda achas, asos ritzchancha, b'lev avshalim. And finally, last nakuda I heard many years ago from Mirki Fishbein, of Woodmere, those letters of Aguda, Aleph, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Oh, with the Vav, actually. You could even have the Vav in there. Oh, I didn't even think of that. Aleph, Gimel, Vav, Dalet, Hey. It has the it's even better. It has the six letters of the Aleph base for the 6 days of creation. I didn't realize. Forget the Aleph, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. It is all 6 days of Maaseh Bereishis. except the bees. Why? Because every day everything was created l'minehu, unique, but working together. That's lasos ritzoncha b'lev of shalem. But Yom Beis teaches about disunity. And when there's disunity, you can't have an aguda achas. But the other 6 days of Ma'aser Bereishis, Aleph, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, teaches about unity, which is a strong Masor Haska, how we have to be. Last nakuda, because our time is really up. I think I say that every week. Last nakuda, I heard from Ricky Fishbein, da'agah, worry. This occurred to me after I finished the Shibur Rabbi Zav Lef, and I was preparing this year, is also the beginning letters of the Aleph base, and it also doesn't have a base. Why? Because Beis is bitachon. If a person has bitachon, they will never have da'aga. So da'aga does not have the Beis, because when you have the Beis, you can always counteract your bitachon. That's what I thought when I heard him talk about da'aguda, missing the Beis. Okay, I hope everybody learned something new. We covered a lot of material tonight. 1 second. Yes, Hashem divided them. He made the Rekia B'toch HaMayim. Hashem is also the Malame Torah L'Israel. And Hashem is also the one who didn't say Kitov. So he's coming to teach us a lesson. The waters needed to be divided, clearly. But while they needed to be divided, Hashem said this is a teaching opportunity. Every morning you say in Berakas HaShachar, Hashem is the Malame Torah L'Amo Yisrael. So this is a teaching opportunity for the Ribbono Shel Olam to teach us what is Tov and what is not Tov. So to the sponsor who is sponsoring upon the engagement, Baruch Hashem, of her daughter, the Chasen Kawa, we wish them zizchus of building a bayis ne'eman b'Yisrael with shalom bayis, a nachas from each other, a nachas to the Ribbono Shel Olam and Kal Yisrael, and an aliyah neshama and zchus zechira neshama letova for my husband's grandfather, Shmuel Zanvil ben Yosef Baruch. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov. Thank you.